Kia ora, welcome to Focus on Politics. I'm Jane Patterson. Quarantining at the border in the midst of a global pandemic used to be the stuff of dystopian fiction novels, but are now a reality in many countries, including here in New Zealand. Facilities are hotels, ranging from the comfortable to the luxurious, but the tight controls at the border are in stark contrast to the relative freedoms being enjoyed by other New Zealanders, and that doesn't look like changing anytime soon.
Some countries are now experiencing a resurgence of cases as they start to reopen their economies and societies.
World Health Organization Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus sounding a warning that the outbreak is not over.
Most people remain susceptible. The virus still has a lot of room to move. Although many countries have made some progress globally, the pandemic is actually speeding up.
Cocooned against that threat is New Zealand. Weeks now with no evidence of community transmission, business largely open, citizens free from social distancing rules, and even large-scale events back on the table. That makes the border management all the more important to prevent the virus being allowed to circulate once again in the community while it rages through other countries.
It is a good reminder that New Zealand is currently a safe haven in a very dangerous world. But we are not immune to what is happening in the rest of the world, and we will all battle this global pandemic for some time to come.
What prompted that warning was the return of lockdown for large swathes of Melbourne after a spike in cases.
Each and every home within those postcodes from 11:59pm tomorrow night will have to stay in their homes. Except for those four reasons. And again, I stress, only when you need.
The Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews, outlining the conditions ahead of the lockdown that came into force earlier this week. The ABC's Bridget Fitzgerald spoke to businesses just before they went back into lockdown, no doubt stirring bad memories for New Zealand businesses.
When Marilyn Zukowski heard the news she'd have to close her business for the second time this year, it was a kick in the guts.
Pure shock and horror. It was just like being punched, really.
She runs a gym in Taylor's Lakes, one of the 36 suburbs going into lockdown in an effort to contain a spike in COVID-19 cases in Melbourne's north, northwest and west. Movement in and out of those suburbs will be restricted and residents will only be able to leave the house for food and essentials, work and study, caregiving or exercise. It'll stay this way until the 29th of July, which means that just 9 days after it reopened, Marilyn Zukowski's gym will close again.
We didn't do anything wrong, and then you get a few people that go out and don't social distance, that causes a problem, and now we have got to suffer like so many other businesses and have to close down again for another month.
The Premier, Daniel Andrews, said failures in the state's hotel quarantine program were a key factor in dozens of coronavirus cases.
Attributable via genomic sequencing to staff members in hotel quarantine breaching well-known and well-understood infection control protocols. That is unacceptable to me.
The Australian Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt addressed allegations Melbourne security guards slept with quarantined guests at hotels.
There are two hotels where clearly there have been breaches, and on the allegations themselves, if they are correct, then Victoria should throw the book at them.
Australia's Chief Nursing Officer, Alison McMillan, says the Victoria outbreaks are of concern and new lockdowns were necessary.
These are the sort of actions we expected might need to happen. We did talk about the fact that taking the suppression approach, we may see community outbreaks and that might require local outbreaks. Controls.
Speaking to Corin Dan on Morning Report, New Zealand's Director of Health Ashley Bloomfield said the same thing could happen in New Zealand if there is a community outbreak.
One of the things we've done right from the start of this outbreak, because everybody's learning, is we've worked very closely with Australia. So we'll be very interested to see just how this approach and the measures that they're putting in place in those Melbourne suburbs work, how effective they are. I think it's much more challenging if you've got some suburbs where you've got the restrictions and other areas where you haven't got them. So we'll be watching closely.
But this is clear. But to be clear, this is an alternative to having to put a whole country up an alert level. We could use specifically targeted lockdowns.
Certainly we could, and I think we would be looking to use exactly these sorts of measures and approaches to avoid having to put the whole country up an alert level.
More than 100 countries around the world have effectively closed their borders, with only citizens and residents and those under strict exemptions allowed to enter. New Zealand is one of those. There are dozens more that have restrictions but are more relaxed about people from other countries coming and going. There are also about 30 countries with no travel restrictions at all. The United States is experiencing a massive surge in cases in various states, and it still has restrictions in place for foreign nationals who have visited a number of specified countries, including Brazil, China and the United Kingdom, in the past 14 days. But outbreaks in some states there have led to internal travel restrictions. New York, New Jersey and Connecticut are now requiring visitors from states with high infection rates to self-isolate for 14 days. Here's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
People coming in from states that have a high infection rate must quarantine for 14 days. And we have a calibration for the infection rate. And any state that goes over that infection rate, that state will be subject to the quarantine. It's only for the simple reason that we worked very hard to get viral transmission rate down. We don't want to see it go up because a lot of people come into this region and they could literally bring the infection with them.
The United Kingdom has remained open, but back in June, the Home Secretary, Priti Patel, announced a two-week isolation plan for overseas arrivals.
That is the incubation period of the virus, so that if people have become infected overseas, we can limit the spread of the virus at home.
She outlined how it would be enforced.
We will not allow a small minority, a reckless minority, to endanger us all. So there will be penalties for those who break these mandatory measures. We will conduct spot checks by mid-June to ensure that people are self-isolating. And those from overseas who refuse to comply could be refused entry.
Like the US, officials in the UK have also had to take some local measures, with UK Health Minister Matt Hancock imposing a lockdown in Leicester after a spike in cases.
Well, it is so important that we get a grip on this spike, this outbreak that's happening in Leicester. And I just really appreciate how, for people in Leicester, how difficult this is going to be, especially given that the rest of the country, thankfully, were able to ease some of those measures. But it's just not safe and possible to do that in Leicester.
But some countries are moving to open up, including the European Union bloc, with the EU deeming New Zealand safe enough for its citizens to visit, along with 13 other countries. The US, Brazil and Russia did not make the cut. However, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says New Zealand won't be returning the favour.
It doesn't mean that we'll have, obviously, the borders reopened for anyone in return. What it does mean is that New Zealanders will have the ability to enter without isolation requirements. But in New Zealand, our restrictions remain.
The EU's Nina Obermeyer spoke to Susie Ferguson on Morning Report.
The first and foremost criteria for qualifying for this list of countries is the epidemiological situation, where, of course, New Zealand is almost in a unique position. So we've been looking at the epidemiological situation in these countries, and reciprocity is one of the criteria that might be taken into account, but only on a case-by-case basis. And of the 14 countries that are on the list, only China requires reciprocity.
Okay, so New Zealand, amongst the majority of the countries, not having to reciprocate here. And so specifically, that is because, what, the case numbers are so low here, or is it about numbers of people coming?
No, this is about the case numbers being so low. So first and foremost criterion, how many new cases are there in the country from which people would like to get travel to the EU? And there, I mean, New Zealand is, of course, an absolute global front runner. And it's also about the trend and about the testing, the surveillance, the contact tracing capabilities. All of this has been taken into account when putting this list together, which is a list that will be evolving.
But it may not be as straightforward as jumping on a plane for a European holiday. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is still advising against all international travel despite the EU's decision. Furthermore, flights to Europe are still restricted through both price and availability of routes, and anyone coming back to New Zealand would still have to do 14 days of isolation. Victoria Courtney from the Flight Centre says it's not the best time to be taking a holiday abroad.
Whilst the government is still saying it's not safe to travel, insurance providers are probably following that recommendation as well. So whether your travel insurance would cover you for COVID would be a risk, but also the situation that New Zealand border requirements could change, and that could certainly present some challenges for New Zealanders trying to return.
And this raised the question, if people voluntarily leave New Zealand for a holiday overseas, should the taxpayer foot the sizeable bill for their 2 weeks' isolation when they return? Ms Ardern was asked whether she was hearing of such cases.
Look, I would find that surprising. I certainly haven't heard of New Zealanders considering holidays, knowing that they would have to have a two-week period in a quarantine on return. What we are doing is getting advice, though, for Kiwis who might be making a deliberate decision to leave without good reason or rationale, picking up the costs of that on their return.
When would that decision be made?
I think we should move fairly quickly on that, because we are seeing other borders open up. You know, most New Zealanders, of course, aren't making decisions like that. A lot of people who had holidays planned have changed their plans and are staying here and enjoying their backyard. But I do think that we should need to have those measures in place.
What's your message to those New Zealanders thinking of going to Europe for a holiday?
Oh, my message would be simple. Don't. Enjoy your own backyard. There are still risks with travel. This is a pandemic that is growing at an extraordinary rate. And at the same time, I don't think it's fair that for those decisions, New Zealanders would pick up the cost.
The National Party has been running hard on the need for strong borders and competent management. Leader Todd Muller asked the Prime Minister what the plan is for the eventual opening of the border.
What specific conditions would need to be met by other countries for the New Zealand border to be opened to their travellers?
Mr Speaker, some of the discussions we've had and continue to have actively and in the past weeks and days with Australia are around preconditions to ensure that we preserve each other's status, because there are obviously states in Australia that are in a very similar position to ours. So it is around things like whether or not there is community transmission and how long states have been free of that, whether or not there is adequate contact training, tracing, testing capacity, things that indicate a similar system and regime to ours that can give us confidence that if an area is declaring itself free of community transmission, that that is the case.
Todd Muller threw this question into the mix during his stand-up with reporters ahead of the weekly caucus meeting.
Once those Kiwis are over in Europe and they say they tour for a few weeks and can demonstrate through health tests in Europe that they are COVID-free, then that is exactly the question that now needs to be put to the government as to what would the expectation be upon those returning travellers who are demonstratively free of COVID, can show that from a health check or a test. Do they need to have a full 14 days in managed isolation and two additional tests or not?
What do you think?
Well, I think, bluntly, we need to have the best advice from our health professionals here in New Zealand about to tell us. We get no visibility. No one is giving those conversations to us. No one is sharing the government's view as to what a sensible medium-term approach should be to answer exactly that question.
Do you think non-Kiwis who can prove they don't have COVID should be able to come here and not be quarantined or put into managed isolation?
Right at the moment, no. But this is exactly what I will call a medium-term question that needs to be resolved, because I don't think New Zealand can stay at a position where we are essentially locked to the world and everybody who comes in here has to be 2 weeks in quarantine or 2 weeks of managed isolation.
What's medium-term?
Well, for me, I would have thought, it's difficult to put an exact number on it. No, what I've asked the government to do is share the criteria of what would change in terms of the risk in the country offshore and our own competence in terms of border management that would and what that criteria would be, so we can have a line of sight of what that looks like and make a sense of whether that's weeks, months, or into next year.
The suggestion some New Zealanders might not have to quarantine has not been enthusiastically embraced, with many people still very worried about outbreaks in other countries and viewing the border as a last and necessary line of defence. The pressure, though, continues to come on to make further concessions, for example, letting foreign students come back to New Zealand to study after isolating for 14 days. And talk of the Trans-Tasman bubble is never very far away, as that represents the best shot at getting tourists from overseas, along with their wallets, back into New Zealand. The situation in Melbourne will not have helped, but work continues between the two countries to make it happen when it is safe for both. The challenge for the government is making sure the border is indeed watertight and setting a path to open the border that's driven by good decisions and data, while taking heed of those whose fortunes depend on free movement, even if it's limited to across the Tasman for now. That's Focus on Politics. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jane Patterson. If you'd like to listen to this program again, head to rnz.co.nz/focusonpolitics. Mā te wā.